This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Jamie Dickerman. Well, this morning, a cold weather advisory was in effect for much of northern North Dakota. Bismarck, National Weather Service meteorologist Jason Anglin, says the air was the coldest near the international border.
We had a minus 41 wind chill near Tolley, and that's in Ward County. Burke County near Bowbells had a couple minus 40 reports, and even the Minot Air Force Base coming in at minus 37 for the wind chill.
Anglin says another area of focus is a winter weather advisory that's in effect for parts of southwest North Dakota, northwest South Dakota, and into eastern Montana.
We have this low that kind of kicks out of the Rockies, but just as it does so, it kind of drapes this front in the southwest. So look for that to bring snow, maybe starting as early as tonight, and then continuing through Saturday, maybe even lingering Saturday night and Sunday morning. And snow accumulation-wise, looking about 2 to 5 inches, but I wouldn't be surprised if a couple areas in the far southwest see 6 inches of new snow.
Cold temperatures should continue into early next week, with another chance of light snow mid to late next week.
The wind is raw with minus 30 degree readings commonplace across the region. David Larson, who operates Lost River Livestock at Clearbrook, Minnesota, says the cows do well with a little extra in the ration.
You know, bump them up by about 10% on TMR when it's like this, and they seem to do okay. I mean, if it was cold like this and calm and sunny, they would do really well, probably better than it was last weekend when it was, you know, 40 and we were melting snow, and that didn't really help us at all because it got sloppy.
The extreme cold weather affecting the northern plains is dangerous for humans and can be devastating for livestock. NDSU Extension livestock specialist Carl Hoppe said cold with wind are the worst conditions for cattle.
You need to have some type of wind protection. Could be a windbreak, could be a portable windbreak, could be bales stacked on each other on the side of each other, could be a barn. Anything to provide some wind protection for the cattle.
Hoppe says it's also important to ensure plenty of water is available.
If they're kind of iffy on producing enough heat to keep them from freezing over, they will freeze over. So got to watch for water. When you don't have water, cattle don't eat. So that's a big cue. And, of course, the other thing, always provide enough feed for your cattle. A little extra hay on a cold day goes a long way.
USDA's weekly export sales were marketing year lows for wheat and soybeans, while not a marketing year low, corn export sales during the week ending December 26th were down 55% from the previous week and 44% below the four-week average at 777,000 metric tons. Soybean export sales of 485,000 metric tons are 51% less than the previous week and 67% less than the four-week average. Wheat inspections of 141,000 metric tons are 77% less than the previous week and 68% less than the four-week average.
Summit Commodities analyst Tim Marsh is chalking up a sharply lower commodity price to thin volume and profit-taking.
Probably what it's about, as much as anything. You can take a look at the weather forecast in Argentina and you can say there's some scattered showers and or whatnot, but the forecast in Argentina, I think, continues to be pretty much the same longer term here for the next couple of weeks, and that is a drying pattern that has contributed to our recent rally. About a third, a little less than a third of the South American crops are grown in Argentina, and add in that southern tip of Brazil that are affected by a potential dry out due to La Nina, and you've got the likelihood that we'll continue to see some bids beneath the market, but not today. Today's profit-taking day.
China's trade with the U.S. fell to 11% of its total goods trade in 2024, its lowest since joining the WTO in 2001. Beijing has shifted exports towards Southeast Asia and imports to Brazil and Australia. Tensions may rise as President-elect Donald Trump signals new tariffs on Chinese goods. Analysts say China could boost U.S. imports to ease potential conflict in future deals.
Red River Farm Network is counting down the top 10 stories of the year in agriculture. Number 4 on our list is the wet spring and long fall cropping season. After spring planting delays due to wet conditions, farmers across the northern plains and upper Midwest enjoyed a long, open fall harvest. In late June, the Red River Farm Network spoke with Syngenta representative Brian Langland about the crop situation in southwestern Minnesota.
It's been devastating for a lot of growers just to try to get some stuff in the ground, and then, you know, many guys have replanted once and twice, and we've just been inundated with rains here the last 2 weeks, and it's just it's overwhelming is what I would tell your listeners, is that, you know, the land can only take so much, and then things start spreading out, and we've got, you know, we've got big areas and fields where crop is underwater.
Once harvest started, it was a nonstop affair. One farmer described it as a 30-day green flag run. Paul Spruill, who farms in the Grand Forks area, shared a similar comment when we spoke with him in late October.
And we've had excellent, excellent harvest conditions. You know, we didn't have a heavy dew, so we didn't have to wait till 1 o'clock for the moisture to get up the vines to run through the combine. We were able to, you know, get going at a much earlier in the day. And, you know, when we can take off X amount of hours per hour, if you can get a couple extra hours in the morning, that has a significant impact on what you're going to get off in a day.
The Red River Farm Network's number three story for 2024 is the weak farm economy. U.S. net farm income down for the third consecutive year, and another downturn is forecast for 2025. Declining commodity prices, high interest rates, and sticky farm input costs are shouldering the blame. The exception has been a bullish beef cattle market and better days in dairy and pork production.
Global Food and Agriculture Organization's Global Food Price Index dropped 0.5% in December, driven by falling prices for sugar, dairy, and cereal grains, which outweighed a rise in meat prices. Despite the monthly decline, the index was 6.7% higher than a year ago. Over 2024, the index fell 21% compared to 2023. Year-on-year prices increased for meat by 7%, dairy by 17%. Cereal grains and sugar saw declines of 9.4% and 10.6%, respectively. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Another year passing without a new farm bill is ranked number two on our list of top stories of 2024. This year ended as it did 1 year ago, with Congress passing a farm bill extension and kicking the can down the road to the new year for passage of a new five-year farm bill. Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glessing was in Washington, D.C. during the debate over the continuing resolution. The 2025 farm bill debate was top of mind.
G.T. Thompson, the chair of the House Ag Committee, now, this is pretty aspirational, but he said he wants to have it through committee in the first quarter of next year. But when you look at all those appointments that the Senate have to confirm and all of that, it's going to be a heavy lift to get the whole bill done. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act is up next year as well, and Senator Thune really would like to see that done by the August break, or that's what he said. And of course, government never works nearly as fast as you'd like it.
And the election of Donald Trump is ranked as the Red River Farm Network's number one story of 2024. Veteran Washington analyst Jim Wiesmeyer described Trump's win as the greatest political comeback in history. Trump won all of the battleground states and expanded his broad support in rural areas.
Well, on the rural vote, he's always focused on the rural Americans, but when you look at certain states, he even gained more rural votes in this election. So he's expanding that. And where most people are saying, It's clearly his Republican Party now, and the changes that he made is a massive realignment for the political party called the Republicans that we used to know, because they're focusing now on the working class, younger Americans, young black men. Clearly, he garnered support from them and Hispanics. So it's pretty broad-based.
Speculation began immediately in farm country about who would lead USDA in the new administration. Familiar names were part of the discussion, including Indiana farmer Kip Thom and American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval. However, Trump picked a relative unknown, Brooke Rollins. Rollins was part of Trump's domestic policy council during the first go-around. Rollins grew up in a town of 1,200 people on the Texas Plains, was a state FFA officer, and got an ag degree at Texas A&M University.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture's Rural Finance Authority is accepting applications for the 2025 Beginning Farmer Tax Credit. The tax credit is available to those who rent or sell farmland, equipment, livestock, or other assets to beginning farmers. A total of $4 million is available on a first-come, first-served basis.
Grain markets are down, especially the wheat market. John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says there's still plenty strong selling pressure coming in today.
Pretty strong selling pressure coming into the marketplace today. A couple different things coming into it. First off, let's go talk to the wheat market first. That's the one that's really probably impacting the corn side as much here. Wheat pushing through, challenging the contract lows today on the Chicago March wheat down for 14 cents here. That contract low's at 529 and change. We're at 531 and change here this morning. So it's going to be interesting to see how that's playing out. Some of that is tied to the strength in the U.S. dollar versus the Russian ruble. The Russian ruble and the Russian wheat market, sets basically the global price. And with that strong move in the dollar yesterday, again, just puts us behind the eight ball on the competitive side of things.
The cost of doing business continues to be high for producers, especially regarding fertilizer prices. John Brecker, soil scientist at AgVise Laboratory, says phosphorus is still extremely high priced.
A lot of questions have been about how can I cut back on phosphorus rates and how far can I cut back on phosphorus rates, which is an interesting question because last year guys were already cutting back on rates because of high fertilizer prices.
Brecker says up-to-date soil testing is the first step in making fertilizer plans for the upcoming season.
Some fields they might not be able to budge on, but if they have some fields that have high or very high soil P levels, you know, those are the ones where they can actually cut back and maybe get away with just a starter application. But if you've got fields that are low or very low testing, yeah, they don't cut so much latitude for cutting back there. And, of course, also noticing, like, if you're crop yield limitations are, I mean, we're just talking about phosphorus, but it's important to know what your nitrogen levels are from last fall. Some of the later crops, like corn, there's actually quite a bit more nitrogen after corn than people were expecting.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week this week?
On this week's Ag Week cover, we're looking into the future. I spoke with Peter Layden, who is a futurist, who spoke at the North Dakota Farmers Union Convention last month in Bismarck. And what he talked about was what's going to happen in the next 25 years from 2025 to 2050. He calls it the Great Progression. And what he sees happening is huge advancements in artificial intelligence, clean energy, and bioengineering, and how all of those things are going to have big impacts on how we live and also on agriculture. Artificial intelligence, of course, has made huge strides lately with things like ChatGPT and other advancements. And that includes things like autonomous vehicles that we're already seeing in agriculture, as well as, he thinks, fairly soon on the roads, maybe with long-haul trucking. He talked about clean energy and how battery capacity is getting better, and it's not going to replace the vehicles we have right now immediately, but it's coming that there will be other options and they're going to get better. And of course, with bioengineering, that could have big implications for agriculture as well. He thinks there could be things farmed and grown that today are made in manufacturing plants. It was a fascinating talk, and it's really interesting to look at what could be coming and how things could change as long as we're open to fixing some of the possible problems with it.
Thanks, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. Let's check market numbers here before we leave you. March wheat Minneapolis, 11 and a quarter lower at 578. Chicago March wheat's down 16 cents at 529 and three quarters. Kansas City March wheat's down 13 and a quarter at 538 and a half. March corn's down 8 and three quarter cents, 450 and a half. July down 9 cents at 461 and a quarter. March soybeans down 21 and a half cents, 990 and a half. July soybeans down 22 and a half at 1015 and a quarter. March canola in Winnipeg down $1.30 a metric ton. February live cattle 30 cents higher, 193.90. January feeder cattle down $1.52 at $264.95. And February lean hogs down 37 cents at $80.75. This is the Red River Farm Network.